and it's good to be back home. Sorry that because of the background music, I think the line wasn't, so there was a background music, so it's not that quiet when we do the, okay. Well, thank you. Like, I just want to say a few words before Pastor Kwok come up and preach. This is our sixth year in Northern Thailand, in the Golden Triangle. Time really flies very fast. And some of you may not know us, but some of you do. And we were sent out by our mother church to go to the Golden Triangle in 2013. And over there, we were doing, when you see the picture, and there was really three major areas that we are working in. The first one is the Christian education, that we train the next generation pastor and Christian worker, that we partner with a school called Thailand Bethel Theological School Institute. So we are there to train the pastor, future pastor, and that is over 50 years ago that this school has established. So all over in the Golden Triangle region, I believe that probably about 70% of the pastor in the ministry were graduated from the BBI. And the second area, that is the drug rehabilitation area, which is a gospel-based rehabilitation, which is mean that they are not using any medical or any medicine to help the addicts to get rid of their addiction, but they are only using the gospel, using the Bible. They are using only God's word every day to help this addicts to go through this program, which is like 18 months, and then also after that, they can stay. Maybe they have a discipleship, they wanted to give their life, committed their life to the Christ, and they will stay in the discipleship training center for 4 years, solid Bible training. And then they become a worker and they're helping back into the rehab center. So this is, we partner with Operation Dawn, which is also is an international organization that they have all over the world. There are 9 countries that have their operation. And also another extension of Operation Dawn is called Agape Foundation, which they also established a new rehab center about 2 years ago. So there was one picture that we want to point out, that when Pastor Kwok was baptizing a monk for that village, a monk that was 30 years serving in a temple. So, but one day he was involved in drugs, and then he was sent to the rehab center. And by God's love, and he see how people love him, so at the end, he also wanted to get baptized and into God's into Jesus Christ. And the third area is the community development, which we were doing the La Hu, which is the far away villages up in the mountain. So those are about when you from the mountain. When Pastor Kwok was there, they have to climb about 3-4 hours up the mountain, that to reach out to those people. There is a pastor we partner with, is called Pastor Dordu, that he has the vision to proclaim the gospel to 100 villages in the next 10 years, to all these La Hu village. And with the love and with the help of Canadian churches, when we brought back 3 years ago the news, and then we have support from Canadian churches across Canada. So when you see the pictures, that we already helped them to build the second, there was a second church building was done. Because what they wanted to do is, they said they wanted a church building, it is because they want to put the cross up the mountain. So people will see that this is different now, because they belong to Jesus Christ. They want to show other villages that they are different. So they are, everything start with Jesus Christ. So I don't want to take about too much time now, because once I started to talk about the ministry in Northern Thailand, usually I will not stop. So, but I need to give back the time to, if you have any questions, because this is just a brief picture. So if you have any question, we are more than welcome to come and talk to us, and then we can share with you more about the ministry in Northern Thailand. Okay, thank you.
know how much time I have. What time should I finish? Now it's 10:20. Mark? Where's Mark? Mark Dean? Yeah, what time? 10:30? Just on the usual, what time you end in the English service? Sorry? 10:50. Wow. By 10:40. Okay. Well, I can see the time so gone so fast. Just look at the young people around us. Okay. The church is already into the third generation now. We are getting old. Not by heart, though. Not by heart. Thank you, Fiona, to report some ministry of what we've done in the Golden Triangle area. We all know we're coming back the home assignment every 2 years. We go to different churches to share what God is doing in the mission field. Always had the time challenge, because it's always think it's not enough time to share that many story over the mission field. Today the message, the title of the message is "What is in your hand?" What that in your hand? That's what God asked Moses. Often God will ask some question when we are facing the critical moment in our life. He asked Adam and Eve, "Where are you? Who say you were naked?" And go to the Bible, to the Exodus, the chapter 4 and the verse 2. The Lord asked Moses, "What's that in your hand?" We all know our Lord is almighty. He should know everything. Why he will ask this question? We all know what's that in the Moses' hand. But why our Lord will open it to ask that question? So obviously, he wanted to remind Moses something. It's very important. Some Christians are unfruitful because they believe they are not qualified to do what God has called them to do. And what devil fear is not we are being a Christian, but the fear of our involvement in the ministry as Christian. They love to see and fulfill Christians. So there's no doubt that God called us to do the active in the ministry, just like he called the Moses to come out to offer his life and involve the God's ministry. But oftentimes we were asked how to do it, how to do the ministry. But the Bible is always teach us what we need to do. I think we just need to let the God to touch every area of our life to become the effective to him. So this morning I would like to point out the four confused that the Christian often have. The confusion number one, we usually think what I have is insignificant to God. We all know the story of the Samson, right? The Samson had a superhuman power and strength, which is God gave to him. But one day the Samson found himself is really in the real trouble. Okay, he has been bonded, and he is going to be delivered into the hands of his enemy. And you can see the story, say they have 1,000 armed enemy surrounding him. And if we were there, we may ask the Samson, so you must have just given up because you don't have anything in your hand. But Bible says the Samson grabbed the nearby object and they used to kill the 1,000 fighting men. What did he grab? what is sold? No, he just he was grabbed just the jawbone of a donkey. And you may say that what could the Samson possible to do with that jawbone? Samson could not do anything with, but he was all he had in his hand. And he trusts God with it. And God took that insignificant object and made the great victory. The Judge 15, verse 15. Finding the fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and he struck down the 1,000 men. So what brought that victory? Maybe what we should say, we should ask. Was the jawbone? No. I think it was the man who held the jawbone, which is Samson, was willing to let the guy use that what in his hand at that time, no matter how insignificant it seems. So the devil we're telling you, so say that the thing which God has in your hand, like time, talent, or treasure, is insignificant. It is all insignificant if you try to use in your own strength or hide it away. But take that which seems to be insignificant, that seems to be nothing but a jawbone, and give it to God, and God will take that and what he placed in your hand to bring the great spiritual victory. So what is in your hand? Give to God. And you will see miracle in your life. So second confused is many Christians will ask, what I have is not enough. Some people will think they don't have enough time or energy. So sometimes you may have heard the people will say, I could be faithful to save in church, but that cut into my hand, into my time. I could help to teach the Sunday school, but I don't have enough energy. Let's look at the lady who learned to give all that was in her hand. Elijah, I think everybody know him in the Bible. The man of God had been led by the river and was fed by the bird. Then one day the water dried up, and God told him to go to the city to meet the widow woman, to ask this lady to fit in. But Elijah found this widow and told her what God has asked. But when she looked what was in her hand, he did not think to be enough. So we can read the First Kings, the chapter 17, the story we all know, and here say that what would have happened if she did not obey this lady. I think they will have a staff. So what happened when they give it to the God? He multiplied and over and over. So dear brother and sister, are you holding on your time, or are you holding or use this time for yourself instead of the giving to God? The give what you have to God and let him multiply, and you will be spiritual full and overflowing. So reason many think they are starving in the church, it's because they are keeping their time and energy for themselves. So the number three confused, some Christian will think what God has placed in my hand may make other life. That you decide to be, I think that some people really decide to use, want to be used by God, or some people desire to win the victory for the Christ, and or even we desire to fight the good fight. But what God has given you, just we think it just will be life by the world. How can we one person to make a difference with what God has given you? 6 years ago, Fiona and I went to the Golden Triangle, not because we have many things on our hand. In fact, we are really nothing to offer to the churches or brothers and sisters over there. Although so we're teaching them in the Bible school, we're preaching every Sunday, and we go around. I think we learned what we learned much more than what we can give to churches or the brothers and sisters over there. But we just have a simple mind, a simple heart. Just offer what we have, even if it's nothing in our life. It just responds to God calling. I think the many stories in Bible can tell us not really we look at what we have and then we estimate it, or we share the portion of that to the church. No, I don't think that's what the Bible teach us. The Lord asked Moses this very obvious question, what that in your hand? And we all know the Moses respond, say, a rod, a staff. And Lord asked him to put down. It which means whatever we have in our life, time, energy, and knowledge, everything. Are you willing to give to Lord? Let the Lord do his ministry. Many people had a confused, which is number four, what God has put in my hand is old age or unqualified in an important place. So Moses is 80 years old, working for his father-in-law, keeping the sheep on the backside of the desert in the foreign country. He's giving all the excuses. You can read that the scripture we just read this morning. He said to the Lord, "Who am I? Who shall I say that sent me? What if they don't believe me? What if they think I'm not important?" And finally, Moses said to the Lord, "Say, please send someone else. Don't send me, send someone else." But the Lord asked him in the chapter 4 and verse 2, we repeat that, the question, "What's that in your hand?" He said, "A rod." We all know what was something that Moses used every day, control the sheep. But when Moses gave that to God and lead the Israelites to the promised land, you can see the difference. So what do you have in your hand that is said to be insignificant? Look to Samson. That is in not enough time or energy to share, we look that widow. Later is much when God is in it. That's what war will laugh at what God has given to you. Look at David. The David just only have a same shot in his hand. But we all know he defeat the giant. Do you think ages or former Pharaoh will stop you from being what God wants? Look at Moses, an old rod becomes the symbol of authority of God. So I think it is not what's in your hand, it is what you let the God to do with. So I want to encourage you, everyone, and myself too, don't look what we have in our hand. It's just, do we have that heart, want to offer ourselves to the God? Past few days, I got a chance to ride on the subway in downtown Toronto. We live in the Brampton over 30-something years. It's not going to downtown Toronto. But anyway, in the one of the stations, I saw the post advertisement by the government of Canada. And look at the picture, and what the picture is a guy that go to the ATM machine and withdraw the money. But seeing the word and say in the picture, what I see is, don't use your house like an ATM. A lot of money come out from that house. So which I think I understand, from my understanding is, it's people using the future money. Okay, now which is not in their hand yet, okay? Because the housing was run crazy past few years. People certainly all of a sudden think they have a lot of money. Not even had the money in the hand, he already used that future, the money. That was what struck me, the people think. The Lord really ask you this morning, I think the same question, what's that in your hand? I think I should end in this message by reading someone prayer. That's what I think can encourage us or remind us. The prayer is, you call us to leave all things. You who hath nothing. You call us to be servants. You who came to serve. You call us to share the law. You who carry our sin. You call us to speak your word. You who live daily. You call us to be followed, and you strengthen, we will.